Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heaven belong to the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that is therein is. Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of hosts, a great God, a mighty, and awesome, and regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He hath executed the justice for the fatherless and widow, and loveth the sojourner, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the sojourner, for ye were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou crave and swear by his name. He is thy praise. He is thy God. And who hath done for thee these great things, awe-inspiring things, which thine eyes have seen? Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a great multitude. Be speaking on the subject today, yes, the Lord has requirements. I know you folks are like me. A lot of times we sing words, but there's meaning to those words. I just want to say to you there, folks over there waiting for it. Great homecoming. Oh, many times we fear tomorrow. One thing about eternity, should never fear eternity. Amen. In the Word of God today, the Lord is speaking about requirements. When my kid was growing up, I remembered in the home, we had some requirements. And I also remember some of them they didn't like. Some of them they worked against. Thank God, I guess they all grew up. God has requirements too. You know, as a child of God, as we preach the gospel, as we serve the Lord, whatever we do, there are some things that we desire. Number one, what I desire in the Lord is I desire rest, and I desire victory in the Lord. And you'll find as you study the Word of God that from time beginning that those who follow God desire to follow God without a yoke. They desire a rest to serve God, a freedom to serve God that seemed like it was just moving in the flow of life with God. And they desired victory. And for many of them, there was no victory, let's say it like it is. In their own encampment, in their own personal lives, they couldn't seem to find the victory to really serve God that they wanted. And that peace of just serving God without giving thought. Today, many are bogged down with the thought of how we should serve God. And yet we find now that we should serve God in His Word. And this is the Word that He gave to Israel concerning them finding this rest and finding these victories and finding that joy that comes from serving God. And God said it very simply. He said, keep the requirement of mine. And so we find that God has some requirements. And I believe that rest and that victory is when the child of God ceases to struggle against those requirements. I see a man who wanted victory. You remember him? He laid his head on a rock to rest. I'll tell you why. He didn't find none. No rest to be found. He had a desire, but very late. And lo and behold, in the night, remember, I think meant last week, I mean, remember he awakes and he sees a ladder coming from heaven. And do you remember the struggle that Jacob had? And I'll tell you what, in the struggle, and you and I know that in a struggle there's no rest. There might be some victory, but sometimes the victory comes at great cost. But I see this man struggling with the power of God in his midst. And he struggles all night long. And when morning comes, and he was blessed of God, he gave in. Sometimes with me serving God, and I hate to say it, I'm your pastor, but sometimes there's a giving in to some things that I wonder, are they of God or are they of me? And when I give in, is it what my heart, by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, tells me to do? And he struggled all night, but let me tell you something. The moment that he quit struggling and gave in to the angel of death, he found rest. He found victory. And you know what he began to do? As he got up, he moved toward hope. Beloved, today you and I, as the children of God, need to make sure that each step we take for God in obedience to him leads hope. Doesn't lead any other direction, but leads to where God is. So we see this young man as he struggles. And you know, over, I think, approximately 3,400 to 3,500 years ago. Now that's 3,500 years. That's a long time. I wasn't born quite then. But it was then that God uttered these words, and today they still carry on throughout the entire world from every pulpit. The requirements of God. What does the Lord require? It's a question. But there is an answer that comes to this inquiry. What does the Lord require of thee? This is personal. It's mine. It's yours. It's personally yours. Of your life. Of your ability. Of your talent. Of your time. What does the Lord require? And the answer comes back. He requires that each of us love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's the word of God. And he says this to Israel. And the question should cause me and you today to have an earnest inquiry in confessing God. Lord, I know you're required of me. What is it that you would have me to do? And then when God deals with you and deals with me as an individual to stagnate, to be polluted, to stop, to do nothing, is to fail. The victory is when God speaks to us that we do not struggle against God and he tells us what to do, that by faith we move out to do that God calls us to do. And when we begin to cease to struggle against God leading us wherever, whenever, whatever, then we begin to settle down. I want to tell you how simple that things that can bother us and how simple it is to settle us down. The limbs are gone. And I had the task of teaching Wilton's class. And I remember distinctively coming to the church, getting the materials I need, taking them home to study. And I remember as I went to begin to study in the middle of the week, couldn't find the book. And I searched diligently. In fact, if you please, at 1 o'clock this morning, I'm still searching for the book. I never found the book. I prayed and I prayed. And so finally I said, Lord, if I can't find the book, I can teach anything. I'm not concerned about teaching. I've got a whole Bible to teach from. But I know when a teacher comes back, he has his lessons lined up. Lord, I know it would please you if somehow I can get on my mind where this book is. And it never came. It never came. It bothered me all week. I mean,
I mean, day and night I searched, I tore the house up. I looked on this 50 times. The wife looked 50. Everybody else looked. And it become a burden that the Word of God, I know it was just in a pamphlet somebody wrote, but it become a burden because the teacher has responsibility and I have somehow maybe hindered that. No, I prayed and I prayed. Melba Birchin. Birchin can tell you when God answers. Maybe that's not valuable to you. But boy, that's valuable to me. I prayed my heart out. Lord, please. Please, God. Just for Wilton's sake. One of the teachers that surrendered to serve you. Let me find it for their sake. And the day as I started out of the office, I looked and there was a package of partners. You know, that goes to everybody in the church. And I opened that up to see if there was something I needed. And would you believe what, how it got there? I don't know, but would you believe what was in there? That book. Oh, I want to tell you. I began to say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, it's so simple. That don't mean anything. It means something because I asked God. And God answered. And I believe that God answered because when we ask God, we ask in sincerity. And then we just have to wait upon God. You know, it was like that with Israel. They had asked God for a rest and for some victories, and they couldn't get the victories. They were somewhere, but they couldn't find those victories. And they knew that God was a God of victory. And so they began to call upon God. And as time went in, God said to them, remember something. I want you to remember that 70 people went into captivity at one time. 70. And I want you to know that I blessed them and I multiplied them. And when they come out of Egypt, they were as the number of the sand upon the seashore that could not be numbered. And it was because that God desired to bless your fathers for their obedience. They met God's requirements. And today, Howard White, if I'll meet God's requirements, what God requires of Howard Eugene Wise Sr., I'll have that rest. I'll have those victories. And thank God today, I have that rest. And I have those victories. And don't you, and praise God for them. But he deals with them here. And why should God require of me? He tells them in the scripture, he said that it is God that has made all things. They belong to God. And then, through time and process, he brought you and you and I into existence. And he put us in the midst of all he had made. And all that belongs to God. And he let us use it. He let us walk in it and live through us in the midst of all that God has and all that belongs to God. And he gives it to us and he says to dress it. Take care of the things that belong to me. That was one of the requirements of God. The Bible said, and Christ said, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. And may I say to you, my friend, that whatever is purchased should be able to be usable by the purchaser. You want an example? I'll give you one right fast. How many of you folks went to the stores right after Christmas and you saw line after line after line of people standing there taking back things to trade, taking back things that didn't work, taking back things that were broke, taking them back, you know why? Because they were unusable. To them they were of no value. To them they were no good. And may I say to me today, if I do not meet the requirements of God, if I'm unusable to God, I'm definitely unprofitable. And so that's why you ladies took back that size 9 dress and bought you a size 6, even though you know you were an 8. You wanted to be able to use it to bring you happiness, to bring you a little peace of mind. Somebody said the other day, and I rejoiced when they said that, preacher, haven't you lost a lot of weight? And boy, I heard that said, 24 pounds. I didn't tell them against that. They asked and I didn't lie. I lost 24 pounds. And finally, as I started off, somebody tapped me and said, nah, he just buying his clothes bigger so it looks that way. To enjoy it. To enjoy the things we have that God has given us in his permissive will. to deal within the realm of serving God in His earth, in His creation, and give it to us and send to us as His children. Use us, but take care of us.
When they came to the place of requirements, they asked the question, what doth the Lord require of thee? And then the answer comes, and we will relate them hurriedly this morning. The number one in verse 12 that he says here, what does the Lord God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? Now, he's not talking about a fear because we're slaves and God's a master who beats us and spares not the whip. Yes, God is a chastener. But when God speaks about fear to God, we come to the place of fearing that if we do not keep the requirements of God, we will be unpleasing to God, we will hurt God, and what God has for us to do will never get done. We do not want to grieve and dishonor God. And you know, when I think of God, when I think of God and His power, I was watching them as they're talking about this, what Nick or something that's taking pictures, whatever, up there. And they were showing where that it is going from Saturn to Jupiter and so forth. And it's on the way to the furthest planet away. And they're amazed at the pictures that sent back. And there are so many questions of why. Why all these rings are here? Why does this thing have so many? Why? And I thought, in all that I listened to, and it was good learning, it was good to hear that people trying to find out and gain knowledge, but never once did I hear anything about just things. God put them all there, and He holds them in the power of His might. Never once. God knows why they're there. He put them there. Below zero is so cold, they can't measure how cold below zero it is on one of them. But anyhow, God gives this knowledge, and He says it, fear God. God is one of great strength. But you know what? Even though God is a God of great strength, God is a God of great love. And when God deals with us to fear God, I believe that none of us should just move out to do whatever it is without desiring to honor God and please God. Because this is a requirement that we know who God is. And serve God accordingly. Not only is He a God of love, He's a God of goodness. But I preached on it about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and in there was something like this. When God chastens, if not because He's an angry, or a man God of us, He chases what? Because He loves us. And that's why that Israel was 40 years of chasing, because He loved them. And He wanted them to know who God is. Tonight in 1989 or this afternoon, we really need to know who God is, and that He is God, and besides Him, there is no other. And so He said, you need to keep these requirements that we serve God. Secondly, He said, verse 12, it is required that an obedient walk, that we walk before the Lord, walk in all His ways. Now, we find that hard to do many times, because we wonder what is God's way. But you know, if we would just utilize that God has given us, you know what it is, folks? Let me tell you, if you don't, He's called the Holy Ghost. He's called the Holy Spirit. And He's the one who Christ said, and when He shall come, He shall teach you of me, and He shall lead you in the path of all truths. The question is not how I walk, the question is who we let lead us when we walk. And if we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God will always be before us. And the only way to follow God and to meet God's requirement is to walk in God's ways, is to have God before us at all times. You know what? When we as God's children got the feeling that God's way off, God's not with us, do you ever think that maybe somewhere along the line we passed Him up, we got ahead of God?
You ever think that maybe we got too excited and we do? They're first quick to do it. They're very excited and anxious to serve God.
And sometimes we are so anxious that we start to follow God, and the next thing you know, we're moving off by ourselves to try to get ahead.
Instead of waiting upon the Lord. That's what he said, wait upon the Lord.
And so he requires that we walk in obedience to God. Paul to the Colossians said this, that if God is leading us, Colossians 1:10, he said, then we will walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. He said, if you walk and let God walk before you, you'll always please him. And that's how God said about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in what? Whom I will please. You know why he was well pleased? Because Jesus was obedient to the Father. He prayed to do what God's will was. He prayed to walk before God, and he did. And he walked before God in such a way that in temptations, you know, he used God's word. Yes. Micah 6:8 asked and answered the question. What does the Lord require? And then he asked, but to walk before him, but to walk humbly before thy God. To walk humbly before Micah 6:8. We need to walk humbly before God. We need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that without God, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Brother Clarence was talking about washing feet. And you know the scripture that he was teaching from. But in all the teaching and all those scriptures, he's saying something to us. He's talking about a word called servitude. A word called servant. And what he is saying, to please God, we need to serve one another. I need to serve these folks. I need to serve these folks. You need to serve each other. You need to wash each other's feet. You need to help each other. You need to be that hand that says, I'm here. Amen. I'm here. Yeah. That we walk humbly before God, knowing that without God, we'll fall. But humble enough. Peter was it said, I'm not washing those feet. I'm not sitting down there. But what he said, if you don't do it, you're not a part of that. You're no better than anybody else. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to have that victory? Do you want to have that peace, that happiness? You've got to be a servant. And, you know, I rejoice as I read the life of this man. How that he took up the cross and followed the Lord. How that he served him. And he served him through things that he became afraid of. His life in jeopardy, but yet he served God because God required of him that he walk before the Lord. A heart that loves God is required. Not a mind that thinks there's a God and said, well, I might as well do this today for God. But a heart that loves God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And it's so important that Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:30, and Luke 10:27, they all put those words down. They're saying that you've got to love God, not a itsy bitsy, teensy weensy little bit. But you have got to love God with all of your heart. He's got to be number one man in our lives. The Lord who looks at the heart, not on a hairdo, not on our clothing, but the God who looks on our heart, requires that the heart be right with God. Now I'll tell you what, when the heart's right with God, everything else falls into place. It's like when you do a puzzle. Now, but everybody does it the same. What do? Don't most of us look for the straight edge pieces? Don't we put them all together? Don't! Why you do that? Routine or what? You think that's how it's supposed to go? Why not start in the picture and build out? The
at the easiest way it seemed like to do it. And I believe that's what I'd like to say about the easy way to get our heart, our lives right with God. Make sure the heart's right. Because the heart is the seat of affection. And so when our hearts get right with God to say, God, I'm yours. What is it you want me to do? I'll do it. I'll go. I'll pray. I'll give. I'll do anything. Lord, what do you want me to do? And when a heart gets like that, I'll tell you what, your feet will fall in step. Your hands will do the thing they're to do for God. Our voices will sing the songs or teach or read poems or do what God would have to do there. It's required of God that a heart be made alive. God looks at hearts. What was he said? Let's see what he said. Jesus was speaking concerning God's requirement and traditions of men in Matthew 15:8. Listen what he said. People draw near unto me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus was saying, whatever these lips and this mouth does honoring God, it must come from the heart. Not just lost words or words with no sincerity, but when the heart's right, the lips and the mouth will praise God. I keep looking as I preach. You know, I'm not jealous. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not jealous. When I look at these women that come up here and say these things, I'm not jealous. They ain't going to teach me to play. Isn't it something? Think about that. Think about that for a moment. Does God require our talents? He said he gives us some talents and to use them, and if you don't use them, I'll take it from you and I'll give them to somebody who has a lot of other talents. Use them. Can you think of these fingers that only can work through the mind? I don't believe the mind will set aside any time if the heart's not in it. And God gave us that heart. And through that heart and the mind, those fingers move to make that beautiful music. Who made them fingers? God. Who made those instruments? Men who would move with knowledge, and the knowledge came from God. It's required that our minds and our hearts be made right. And when we honor God with those fingers. And honor God with these feet. And honor God with our giving. And honor God with our singing. And honor God with our preaching. Just honor God. And he said, then your heart would be close to me. There's something about God there. You know, mine can be tickled. There are a lot of things I like to hear. A lot of things that appease me, and later on I wish I hadn't listened. But you know, just words don't satisfy God. It's when those words come to God from a sincere heart. A heart that is focused upon God. The psalmist said, as he cried to God, he said, search me and know my heart. I need to say that today to God. Lord, search me and know my heart. And I rest assured to us, God knows the heart. Amen. God requires a heart that is urged or pushed to service. And that urging by the Holy Spirit must be done in the name of Jesus. You know, I'm going to tell you what. Now folks, I'm Baptist and you know that. But I'll tell you, forget that. I'm Christian. And a lot of times we go around and we kind of do what we think is fun. A lot of times we walk around some folks and say, in the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that, in the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that. Let me tell you something, folks. You will never do nothing unless it's through the name of Jesus. We might as well put that down because many times we begin to mock all those who say that. And I'll tell you, that becomes sin as far as I'm concerned. When we call upon God, my friend, it's through His victory on Calvary cross. It is definitely in the name of Jesus. And when we have an urge by the Holy Spirit,
we do the things we do in the name of Jesus. For His honor, for His glory, through His power, through His might. Yes. It applies something. A following. Think for a minute. We're going to close here.
There was a man that sat at a gate, called the gate, called Beautiful. And the Bible said that he was asking all. He had money.
Well,
it's just an everyday trend when the men of God got there and it's broke.
And they said, silver and gold, we don't have any. But now listen to what they said.
But such as I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. God asked me a question today. Do I have anything to give? Maybe I don't have no silver, I don't have no gold, but do I have anything to give? I sure do. Man, I know exactly what you got to do to have eternal life. Well, Jesus told me how. He said you confess your sin, and God, when you confess, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's something we have to give. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, believing. We feel that He just pinned him down to take us face to battle. No, friend, if we have a need, not a want. But if we have a need and God can supply it and we call upon God believing, God said it'll be unto us. I have that and I can give that, that God is a source of help. You have it too. How long has it been since we've taken it to the world? We must present ourselves as Isaac did. I can almost see him. He gets the wood. He gets everything. And he looks around dumbfounded. And he says to his dad, hey, Dad, we want that. Well, he said, I see the world. I see everything we need for the sacrifice, but what's the sacrifice? I love what Daddy said.
Daddy said, son, God will provide a sacrifice. But my mind goes back when he left, and he left the servant. You remember what he said, or have you caught it yet? He said, wait here, and the son and I will go and return. We're coming back, me and the boy. Daddy, where's the sacrifice? God will provide. And he did. You notice something that I caught? I never heard Isaac say, now, wait a minute there, Dad. You gonna pull something shaky on me? Hey, wait a minute now. We got this wood and that, and I know what people do about presenting their son to God. You ain't got that on your mind for me, have you? None of that. Without bickering, without yelling, without saying no, Isaac went to the mountain. Willing to be that sacrifice, if need be. But God provided the ram in the bush, caught by the horns and the thicket. And he and his son come back, just like he said. That's faith. Look, folks, don't sit around and gripe. Don't sit around and bicker. Don't tell God, I can't do it now, God. That ain't me. You give that to sister, brother so-and-so. No, don't bicker. Do it. Just simply do it. You know why? Because when God lays it on our heart, He requires it of us. And we need to do it. Yeah. In 2 Samuel, King David said in closing, behold, here I am. Let God do as He pleases with me. The
You say that this morning about your life. Here I am. Whatever that God required, whatever that God wanted, it's His will. This morning, my friend, what doth the Lord require of thee? What doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear God, to have a heart of compassion, to love God with all of our hearts. God requires that of every one of us. Let's do it. What is it they get on the football team and all get there? Hey, yeah, let's do it! All for that excitement to serve God. Let's do it. Sister Sandy, Sister Bertie, come, Brother Clarence. Let's do it. Let's meet the requirements of God.